But the Lord said to Emmanuel, do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Emmanuel, come on. Let's put our hands together for this young man. God bless you.
Good afternoon. Today we're going to talk about faith and God's rewards for those who are faithful. Do you have any parents in here? Any parents? Do you have any kids in here? Any children? All right. So as children, we know sometimes, you know, you want to make your parents happy. You want to get good grades, behave, do well in sports, whatever it may be. But as Christians, we are children of God. And in all we do, we seek to make God pleased. So can I please get the next slide? And in trying to please God, we know from the verses that, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and take, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So, a few of us wish it was like written out how to make our parents happy, but at least it's written out how to make God happy. So what is this faith he asks of us? Why is it important? A word that we often associate with faith is trust. And the dictionary defines it as faith is complete and utter trust in someone or something. Mm-hmm. That's the way Webster sees it, so it must be. So all of us are familiar with the trust fall exercise. Trust fall. Yep. So, can I get the next slide, please? Say you had to trust fall. Everyone's familiar with the trust fall, and many of us place our lives, there we go, place our lives in a small holder, your wallet. Everything's in there. So trust. Would you trust this individual with your wallet? Can I get the next slide, please? Or would you trust? No, come. Would you trust this guy with your wallet?
No.
Yes. Yes.
Already
we already do. Why would we trust this man? Why? Knowledge. We know who he is, Barack Obama. We know his name. We know what he does, what he represents, his values, or the party values he's associated with. We know that. So knowledge. So your faith and trust must be based in knowledge. Mm-hmm. May I please get the next slide? And in Romans 10:17, it says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. So you cannot and will not have faith lest you have knowledge. And that knowledge is, faith is often, oh, I'm going to take the leap of faith into the darkness, hoping something will happen. But faith is not without substance. Faith is something you can explain oftentimes. Sometimes you can't. Can I get the next slide, please? Go back. So why do we want to make God happy? We want to make God happy because it has results. We love God. God loves us. You want to make your parents happy because, hey, they're going to get you a new video game. They're going to get something cool. Boom, you know? So we want, not quite, but we want to make God happy out of love and the promises he has made to us. And he has promised you many things simply because of that faith that you have. Faith has benefits. Oftentimes it's like you're going to become a Christian and we hear about, oh, it's going to get tough. We're going to have to like grind it out, you know, keep strong, keep the faith, keep the word. And sometimes it's not told. It's pretty nice being a Christian. We have a few promises. So can I get the next slide, please? For those who choose to keep their faith, like the Israelites here, the children of Judah prevailed because they relied on the Lord God of their fathers. They did not lean on their own understanding. They did not believe, oh, we have the best swords out here and the best shields and we got this. Got some Nike shoes on. We got this. No, they put their faith in God. So, in whatever you may be going through in your life, battles through mortgage, finance, school, tuition, everything. Mm-hmm. You didn't study for a test and now you're running in there. No, not really. But you're going through tough times. Everybody has tough times. So place your faith in the Lord. Amen. You not necessarily need to know, oh, how this is going to work out and that's going to work out. I'm not asking you to put your car in the shop and claim it. That's not what I'm asking. But I'm asking you to trust the Lord, to pray, wait on the Lord for an answer, and don't lean on what you know and what you can do. Next slide, please. Deliverance. Things are getting hard. Things are getting awful hard. You don't know what you're going to do next. Everything seems like it's coming down around you. Lord says, "For I will surely deliver you, and you shall not fall by the sword, but your life shall be as a prize to you, because you have put your trust in me," says the Lord. All right, and next slide, please. Your prayer shall be answered. Instead of putting your car in the shop, you go out there with your pastor and you pray over that car. You meditate, you fast, and you pray some more, and you wait for God to provide you with an answer. Because we all know sometimes you don't know how it's going to happen. You ask, oh, Lord, what am I going to do? You turn to your wife and ask her, honey, what are we going to do? I turn to Mercy, and I'm like, Mercy, what am I going to do? And we don't know, but we ask. But instead, turn to the Lord and ask him. Can I get the next slide, please? And a really nice example of this done in the Bible is Hannah. For all of us who have our Bibles, could you please turn to 1 Samuel? We all know the story of Hannah. Hannah's married. All right, that's pretty nice. She's married, but she is one of two wives. And see, in a day where nowadays things still define you, like, oh, who has the newest iPhone, who had like the iPhone 6, who has the freshest shoes on, or the nicest watch, or drives the nicest car, things define us. But at that time, things that defined them were children. A woman who could not have children was looked down upon in society. She was of less value, of less worth somehow, because she could not provide children. Next slide, please. I do a few animations in here. So she was barren, and this troubled her because the other wife, her name was Penina. She had kids. Mm-hmm. She was giving out kids. She was kids just throwing them out. Just kids, left and right, you know. And she was not as God-fearing as Hannah. She often mocked Hannah, telling her about how she could not have kids and how she was not of the same worth. Can I get the next slide, please? She was mocked, and she's often referred to as her adversary. Mm-hmm. In your life, I know you have adversaries. There are people who will tell you you're not good enough, you can't do it. You what is your God going to do? Like, pushing you to surrender your faith. But Hannah didn't. Hannah held steadfast and knew that God was her only deliverance. In a time where modern medicine could likely fix this problem, she did not have it. She had to rely on what's going to happen next. I better hope the Lord I believe in delivers me. So she had that faith. And she turned to the Lord praying, calling in earnest with all her faith. All of it. Can I get the next slide, please? She was a very faithful person, prayerful in nature and devoted to the Lord. And can I get the next slide, please? Go back. She turned to the Lord, and this is 1 Samuel 10 through 12. In her deepest anguish, Hannah turned to the Lord, weeping bitterly. That's not kind of like sniffling, like, oh, my feelings are hurt. That's straight bawling. She has the tissue box. Maybe like nowadays you'd have a tub of ice cream sitting in front of the TV watching soap operas, crying your eyes out. So she turned to the Lord weeping bitterly and made a vow saying, Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me. Sometimes we feel forgotten. We pray, oh God, deliver my car. God, save my car. I love that car, God. Nothing. You go back to your wall, you pound the wall, you pray, Lord, Lord, I'll mow the grass and not complain. Deliver my car. Nothing. So Hannah prayed, and she prayed for many years, thinking God had forgotten about her. She probably felt all kinds of disillusionment, all kinds of despair, misery, and things we can't even relate to today. But she said, remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, and I will give him to the Lord for all his days, and no razor shall be used on his head. So she prayed, and she prayed, and she waited on the Lord. And in 1 Samuel 117, her prayers were finally answered, and Eli said, go in peace. May the Lord of Israel grant that request you have asked of him. She was finally rewarded, and she had a son, Samuel. She had that which she most longed for, most asked for. Maybe it's deliverance from the bills. Maybe the tax, like the IRS, is sending you letter after letter after letter. You need deliverance from them. Pray. Turn to the Lord. And when you pray, don't ever forget to give thanks, for the Lord has delivered you, and you have not delivered yourself. Can I get the next slide, please? Hannah said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord, my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, and I delight in your deliverance. For deliverance comes from him. So today, I hope that you have picked up my 17 minutes, kept it shorter than my predecessors. I hope that you picked up at least to have faith in your times of trouble, in your times of sorrow, when you don't know what you're going to do. Lean on the Lord. Amen. For he'll show you how to do it, when to do it, and often why to do it. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day that you have given us. I thank you for every day of life you give us. Father, I thank you that I was given this opportunity to come and preach, Lord. I pray to continue to bless the people and bless us all, Father. Allow us to grow closer to you and have faith unwavering like Hannah's in whatever matters may concern us and bother those around us, Father. I pray that you'll teach us how to wait. Wait on your deliverance, Father, and have that faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, That was a very timely word. Amen. To the point. Amen. I'm sure nobody missed it. That God rewards his people through those who have faith in him, and through faith pray and cry out to God so that he can answer. I want to share Hebrews as we close. Let's see, where is it here? Hebrews chapter 18, excuse me, 13. We'll be looking at this in succeeding weeks here shortly. But Paul, or the writer of Hebrews, says this: pray for us, for we are confident that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But then in verse 19, he says this. Now, in verse 18, he says, pray for us. Verse 18, but he says this. In verse 19, but I especially urge you to do this. What this is, to pray for us, that I may be restored to you the sooner. So the writer is out doing whatever they're doing, and he asks for prayer, the people to pray for him and his team, companions who are out ministering the gospel. But he says, but I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. In other words, do you know that if we hadn't prayed for the Grahams the way we did, chances are the outcome that they have would not have been the outcome. You understand that? In other words, what Emmanuel just shared about Hannah praying, if Hannah had not bore down and prayed with all of her soul, if she had not just given all of herself in that petition, in that request, chances are it wouldn't have happened. Some people say, oh, what will be. That is not true. What will be. No, it won't. Because God has given us a will, and he's given us a place in his kingdom by which we can affect things that happen in the kingdom. That's why this writer said, listen, pray for me, and I really want you to pray for me so that I can come to you. He says, because if you don't pray, I may not be there. And so we just realize and take seriously this whole theme and thought that Emmanuel has relayed to us and has come to us otherwise, that we need to pray and really, you know, seek the Lord about things in our lives, things in the nation, things that are affecting countless peoples, that we pray and that so that God can accomplish his will and what he wants to do in our lives. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you for the word that we've heard, the word of faith, the word of rewards, the word of pressing in, the word of prayer. We thank you, O God, that you are God who listens to and answers prayer. Father, we thank you, O God, for your grace that has been bestowed over each and every life here today, over each and every home, over our relationships. Lord, as we seek your face, as we pray, O God, not only for our families and our church family, but our nation and the nations of the earth. Father, we thank you that as we pray, Lord, that your kingdom comes, that your will is being done in lives, Lord, in relationships, in and amongst us. Father, we thank you for that. Lord, may your word have free course in our hearts and in the hearts of millions of people, we pray. We ask also, Lord, your blessing over this food that we're about to receive. We pray over the fellowship, over the interaction that we'll have, Lord, as we minister to one spirit to spirit by the power of your spirit. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen, amen and amen. God bless you. We'll be meeting outside for the meal.